Well, praise God. Welcome to another class of Alliance of Honorable Men. I hope you did well on your exams. We're still going over your exams and make sure we got everything correct and make sure we grade them properly. But you should have your final grades pretty soon. But nevertheless, thank you for being here in this particular session. Last time we were together, we were talking about the apostle and certain characteristics of the apostle and what you should be looking for. As promised, this class, we're going to talk about the office of the prophet. Now, let me say this ahead of time. I can no way possible in one setting exhaust what you need to know about a prophet. But my purpose for going through the fivefold before we get into the lines of honorable men, before we get into the book, is so that you can see the connection between each one, how there should be a culture of honor as you're learning in the culture of honor. And why should there be a culture of honor and how they work together? And so a prophet, very simply, the only objective of a prophet is to point people back to God's original plan. That is the base foundational purpose of a prophet. Is to point God's people back to his, God's, original plan. So from this jump, you see the connection between an apostle and a prophet. A prophet has to point back to God's original plan. But if God's original plan is not revealed, there's nothing to point to. I hope you're catching that. So an apostle, remember what an apostle does, apostle structures heaven and earth government so that the portal of the supernatural can be opened so all those connected can enter in. So an apostle is a carrier of God's agenda. An apostle structures government. Government, in order to structure government or divine order, you have to know what's going on in the earth realm and what's going on around you. Without that, what you're structuring? What are you governing? And so a prophet is to point people back to God's original plan. That is the basis of a prophet. Now, all of the fivefold ministry gifts can preach the gospel. They all can preach the gospel. But each one has a certain function in the body that is to, go back to Ephesians 4 and 11, to mature us or perfect us. So that we can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be edified or be built. I hope you're seeing this. So the main objective of a prophet is to bring back God's people to his, God's original plan or agenda. A prophet, he or she has no other objective. A prophet can also be seen, it also has been called a seer. Now, the reason why a prophet can see into the future with the eyes of God is to reveal to people what could possibly happen when they do follow his agenda or what could possibly happen when they don't follow God's agenda. Deuteronomy 28, Moses wrote this, and you would see the first part of Deuteronomy 28 is what will happen when when you do what God is asking you to do. The B part of Deuteronomy 28 is prophesied what can possibly happen when you don't. And so a prophet, you can look at you can go back and read all the prophets in the Old Testament. Their only concern of objective was to point people back to God's original plan. That's it. And when you simplify it, it makes you recognize prophets much easier. So the ability to see into the future has nothing to do with guiding your future. Has nothing to do with that. Only God can guide your future. Matter of fact, a prophet, especially when speaking directly to you, will only confirm what you already know. I'm going to say that again. A prophet, when directly speaking to you and speaking into your life, will only confirm what you already know, what God has already spoken to you. If that's not the case, then that means God has given somebody else authority over your life. God has given another human authority over your life, and that's not the case. So when he or she, a prophet, speaks into your life, they are only confirming what God has already spoken to you. I got an example. Go to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. First Kings 17, verses. Do I want to go to? All right, let's go to verse 8. I'll read the other part later. First Kings 17. Let's go to verse 8. Now we're gonna read this slowly. And the word of the Lord came unto him, meaning Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. I'm reading this by slowly on purpose, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, now I'm going to need you to underline this. I have commanded, past tense, a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now that this scripture is so, event in the Bible is so loaded with principles, and I get excited time I read it. I'm gonna stay focused. I stay focused on what we're talking about. He said, "I have commanded," past tense. I need you to underline that in your Bible. I have commanded, all right, is going to help you in a few moments. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now listen to this. Listen to what Elijah's going to get ready to tell her. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of all fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, here we get to the 14th verse, and then Elijah spoke to her or prophesied to her as a prophet. He was able to see into the future of what was going to happen. Now, what did God tell Elijah? I have commanded. So that means God had already told this widow woman what she was supposed to do. And watch this, what she was supposed to do and how she was supposed to do it. All Elijah did was confirm to her what God had already spoken to her. That's why it was easy for her to go do, because look at the circumstances. She said, sir, I ain't got no cake. I ain't got but a little meal in a barrel, a little oil. I'm going to go make some cake for me and my son so we can go and die. And that's when the word of the Lord came to Elijah and told him what to minister and share with this widow woman. As soon as he said it, it was confirmation to what God had already commanded her to do. Watch this. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So many principles. Let's back up. Why hearing the voice of God and understanding that a prophet would bring you back to God's original plan. God had already planned for this widow woman to be a catalyst to her family, to where they won't run out during a time of famine. If you remember, if you read before, and if you started the first verse, you see that Elijah fled and went to a brook. And at that brook, God was feeding, because Elijah had prophesied the famine. So he left, went to a brook, was drinking water from a brook, and ravens were feeding him. Now, if you know anything about a raven, or if you study a raven, they say a raven is a selfish bird, ain't willing to share nothing. But God was using a raven to feed Elijah. Now, God knew Elijah was the man that he was using in that hour to cause government and cause the portal of the supernatural to be open, right? Listen. So God needed to move him to where she was. So God dropped the brook, stopped sending the ravens, so that Elijah would go to this woman in Zarephath, to whom, this is very key, to whom God had already spoken. So if you ever in a meeting and somebody prophesied to you, a prophet or so-called prophet calls you out and begins to say, thus said the Lord, if God had not already told you this, then he or she is missing it. Because God is not going to use another man to direct your future. God will only use another man to confirm your future. To where the Bible says, out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. To confirm or to give you another witness is that to that just the direction you're supposed to go in. I'll give you an example. I was sitting at a table. I went to a function with an apostle. At the time, he wasn't an apostle. He was Dr. Thompson at the time. I went to a function with him. It was a gala. I think they were celebrating a gentleman becoming bishop. And my dad was going to celebrate with him. And I just happened to, my wife and I happened to go with him and my mom. So this is about maybe 15, 20 years ago. So my apostle was and my mom was sitting at another table. And we were sitting at a table. I knew none of these people. And so we were sitting there and we was eating. And all of a sudden, this guy looked at me. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that you are going to be a mighty man of God. And that you're going to establish your church and you're going to be a blessing to people. I immediately told him, you got the wrong person. That's not me. Because God had already given me my instructions. So I said, it must be somebody else at this table you're talking to, because it ain't me. So I don't receive that. See, you have to know what God is telling you. And God will only use a prophet to confirm what he's already told you. Just like God will only use a prophet to point people back to his original plan. Go to Isaiah. Watch this. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah 9. You get to studying and get to, you can study prophets. And that's wonderful. If God called you to be a prophet, you need to study to understand it and see how prophets function. But this is what you must understand. You must understand this, that God will only use men and women to point people back to his original plan. When that guy tried to prophesy to me, it wasn't a part of God's original plan for me, because God had already told me what I was supposed to do. God told me I was to assist Apostle Dr. Thompson at the time, because he had things for him to do. So now, that don't agree. When you come and prophesy to me and tell me I'm going to start a church, that ain't what God told me. So that I automatically knew that I'm not saying he wasn't a prophet. All I know is he ate too much that night. because he wasn't talking to me. You must have that confidence of what God is telling you so that nobody can walk in your life and take it over because they're trying to seem more spiritual than you. Isaiah, I told you to turn to Isaiah. Let's get to Isaiah. Isaiah 9. Talk about a prophet. The main objective of a prophet is to point God's people back to his original plan or his original agenda. Isaiah 9, watch this. And look at verse 6. Isaiah is writing, he's prophesying. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this." This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus coming. What Isaiah was trying to do, he was trying to bring the children of Israel and bring them back to God's original plan because they keep forgetting about God's original plan. So Isaiah keeps pointing them back to God's original plan. So he was talking about Jesus before Jesus got here. Jesus has always been a part of God's original plan. So what Isaiah was doing was pointing the children of Israel back to God's original plan. That's what he was doing. So every prophet's primary objective is to point you back or point the people of God back to God's original plan. Therefore, if there's no apostle, then what you're pointing back to? So a lot of these prophets that we have in the United States have no apostolic covering, no apostolic connection. So that's why we get into this node of them just doing individual prophets. Individual prophecies, trying to point and direct people's lives. When these prophets are only supposed to, watch this, point you back to God's original plan for your life. So God's original plan, you should already know. There are times when God may speak something into your life. And he might not have revealed it to you yet. Let me give you an example. Go to Luke, the second chapter. Watch this. You never move unless God talks to you directly. See, that's the reason why that curtain was rent in two. Lord, thank you. Before we go to Luke 2, go to 2 Corinthians 1. I need you to see this. 2 Corinthians 1, because there must not be any conflict. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I read the scripture over and over, and I'm going to read it probably over and over in this particular class. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 24th verse. This is an apostle, the apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians. He says this, verse 24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, or not that we have dominion over your assignment, but are helpers of your joy, for by your assignment ye stand." So in other words, the Apostle Paul says, we do not have dominion over your faith. We don't have control over that. We are only here to assist you. That's Ephesians 4, verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints." The objective of the fivefold is to mature you. My job as a part of the fivefold, apostles' job as part of the fivefold, the other instructors as a part of the fivefold, you who are called to be ministers of the gospel, your only job is to perfect or to help mature the saints. Now, what maturity means? Maturity means go to Ephesians 4 and 11. I'm trying to help you with prophets. So we can get rid of these prophets that are not apostolic. Let me say it that way. Not apostolic. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse, the 12th verse. Verse 13, watch this. till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature or perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Other words, the fivefold ministry gift job is to put you on a path of maturity to where you begin to walk like Christ, look like Christ, and do like Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Other words, the Apostle Paul said it best like this. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if you follow Apostle Paul long enough, at some point, you're going to be following Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I will step to the side and you mature where I am. You get to the maturity level that I'm at. So this is why God will never allow another human to direct your life. Only he has a right to direct your life. But God has set prophets to help mature us. What it means to help mature us? To put us in a position to become more like Christ. So that means he or she will only point us back to God's original plan. Go to Luke 2. Luke 2, watch this. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. All right, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All right, the angel is delivering a message to them. Prophetic, right? Watch this. Verse 11, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now the shepherds are saying this. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. All right. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Prophetic. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them, the shepherds. Verse 19, this is key. This is what I want to get to. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What am I pointing for reading that? Mary pondered it in her heart because she kept it and she incubated it. She didn't go around broadcasting the law, say, I'm going to do this, or Jesus is going to be this. She pondered it. Pondered it in her heart. She ain't go blabbing off to everybody. Here's why. Go to Luke. What's the best verse? Luke 4 or Mark. Let's go to Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you an example. So then was Jesus led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, verse 2, he was after the hunger. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command thee that these stones be made bread. Notice here, if. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the city and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hand, their hands there shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. The devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Notice, the devil kept saying, if thou be the Son of God. He really didn't know. Why? Because Jesus didn't go around blabbering what God, who he was. 1 Corinthians 2, I think it's verse 7, said, if the princes of the world would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord Jesus. What's my point for reading this in Luke 2? If a prophet prophesies something to you and you may be lost as to what he or she's saying, don't go blabbering off to nobody. Hold it, because God is going to confirm it for you. God is going to speak to you himself. God is going to speak to you himself. I'm going to say it again. God is going to speak to you himself. You don't have to go make nothing happen. God is going to speak to you himself. Give you an example. Apostle at the time, Dr. Thompson, went to preach for a pastor in, I think it was, I forgot what part of Tennessee. You hear him talk about his prophets all the time. I don't know it verbatim. But his wife spoke in tongues and he interpreted. And he said, blessings, blessings, blessings are going to overtake you. He began to talk about how God was going to use him in a mighty way. Watch this now. There are going to be some that try to turn it a different direction. Now, this was before Apostle had got money coming. So what Apostle did was got the prophecy and tucked it in his heart. Didn't talk about it. Think it might be a year or so later, God gave him the words, money cometh. Now watch this, this is key. This is key. After he got the words, money cometh, all of a sudden, people started coming up with songs and coming up with bumper stickers and trying to make t-shirts out of them. And because the prophetic words of money cometh originated with him, he had the authority to shut all that down. He remembered the prophecy about how some men were going to try to turn it a different way. He immediately, I'll never forget. He said, they trying to make songs with it. Oh, no, that I remember that prophecy. That prophecy is going to be something that try to turn it a different way. This is, watch this. God is wonderful. He said, no, nah, I'm shutting all it down. I'm not endorsing no song that talks about money coming, no t-shirts, no bumper sticker. He said, Leroy Jr., I need you to go and get this word trademarked. Go get it trademarked. So I begin to work to get it trademarked. This is going to leave me. Get it trademarked so that nobody could abuse it. And so there was some instance of people tried to abuse the word money coming. All I do is simply write them a letter and say, hey, this is trademarked. You don't have to cease and desist or you'll be hearing from our lawyers. Why we had to do that? Now, do we do it with a lot of people? Nah, people all over the world use money cometh as long as you use it in proper context. There were some men that tried to come, that prophecy was accurate. There are going to be some men that try to come in and turn it another way. He was sitting at another table. And one gentleman said, yeah, I hear the law saying much more money cometh. Apostle said, that ain't what the law said. The law said money cometh. Money cometh produces all the resources you need. It is money cometh. The law didn't say much more money cometh. He said money cometh. Y'all know, and this is what he said. He said, I'm not going to allow y'all to steal from me the same way you stole from Seymour. We're going to follow what God is saying. Powerful. All the courage came from that word being confirmed that he had before he had money coming. He said they're going to come in and try to turn it a different way. My God. So a prophetic word from a prophet, watch this. The way a prophet directs people back to God's original plan is by alerting them to future traps and or consequences. Isaiah again, in Isaiah 1, and 19. It says, if ye are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But a lot of people don't read verse 20. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured. Go to Isaiah 1. Go to 1. Isaiah 1. Isaiah's a prophet. He's prophesying to the children of Israel. Watch this. Watch what he says. Isaiah 1. Looks like I'm going to have to continue this news because I got a bunch of notes on prophets I haven't even got to yet. Isaiah 1, verses 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He prophesied to them. He's telling them what God is saying will happen if you do this and what will happen if you don't do this. So a prophet, what are you trying to do? Bring them back to God's original plan. A prophet will also protect the agenda of God. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's see. In order to set this up, I need you to see this. Go to in chapter 5, verse 15. This is when Elisha was dealing with Gehazi. He was dealing with Naaman, and Naaman got healed of leprosy. So we're in verse 15, and he returned to the man of God after he had dipped and was healed, and he returned in all his company, and he came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifices to other gods, but unto the Lord. So he wanted to give him something. I want you to see this. Verse 20, we're going to skip to verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my master, he done went chased Naaman down. Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian and not receiving at his hands that which he bought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman and went Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? He said, all is well. My master has sent me home, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two chains of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in bags with two chains of garments and laid them upon the two of his servants, and they bared them before him. And when he had came to the tower, and he took them from their hands and behold, bestowed them in the house, Gehazi took the stuff. And he let the men go and departed. But when he went in, he stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, it is time to receive money and to receive garments and olive gardens and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. Elijah is upholding God's agenda and God's instructions. He's telling him you shouldn't have went. Verse 27, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence as a leper and as white as snow. So a prophet also will protect the agenda of God. What I want you to get from this particular lesson is understanding that God will use prophets to help mature you. What that means. Mature you means to cause you to grow. So prophets are not there to see in the future to direct your life. They're not there to just tell you your address. They're not there just to tell you your name. prophets. God has put prophets in the body of Christ to help mature or assist in your maturity, meaning that God will always use a prophet to confirm what he's saying to you. So I bless you. I've really enjoyed this class. Go back and read these things about Isaiah 9 and 6 and 1 and 8 and read when he commanded the widow woman. God had already talked to her. So prophets are there to, what prophets are there to do? The primary objective of a prophet is to point people back to God's original plan. So if a prophet speaks directly to you, he or she is pointing you back to God's original plan. So how do I know if I'm with a false prophet or not? If what they're telling me is not pointing me back to what God has already shared with me, or if they're telling me before God has shared it with me, I hold it and it will show up and I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how to handle it. So a prophet is not there to see in the future just so you don't have to operate by faith. They're there to help you mature in your faith. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week.